probably stop the recording now and then restart for the next session, for which it gives me great pleasure to welcome our ICANN CEO, Fadi Chahali. Fadi, welcome to the GNSO weekend sessions. Predominantly seated, although not exclusively, at the table is the GNSO Council, but these are our GNSO weekend sessions, which are substantive discussion about the work of the GNSO, and I'm encouraged, and I'm sure you will be, to see it's a wonderfully full room with an active group of participants. We've been anticipating your arrival and had some discussion amongst ourselves, and would very much appreciate if you would be prepared to work with us in a sort of Q&A type format, and it would be great if we could work along those lines. And I think that's the sense of how we'd like to take it, if that's okay with you. So you may want to make a couple of remarks, but a warm welcome from all of us, and over to you for a moment.
Well, good afternoon. Good to be here. I think the big remark is obviously all of us with anticipation of the beginning of the post-United States government era. It's going to be quite a bit of work in the months ahead. I think right now the community is just bracing for what that means and what we need to do. And I think tomorrow, Monday, we will start working together to figure out where we go from here. As I will note on Monday morning when I speak, that one of the interesting interviews I had was with The Economist. They ran a story today in today's issue. And the reporter three times was trying to push me to admit that the reason the U.S. government made this decision is due to the Snowden revelations. And I finished by telling him a story. I said, listen, my wife is a gardener, and if I dared tell her that the good fruits and vegetables in her garden are due to the rain that happened 2 days ago, she'd be very upset with me because she spent at least the last 6 months tilling the ground, composting and trimming and doing a million things for this fruit to come out this way. It didn't happen because it rained 2 days ago. So to accuse or to attach the decision of the U.S. government to an event or a certain time is not fair. So I want to commend all of us who for the last 15 years have done what we had to do to deserve, as Larry himself told me, you deserve this in spades. You, all of us, we deserve this in spades. Our community has shown the world how we work together, how we can build consensus decisions together, and how we, frankly, enabled a multi-trillion dollar market, not just the DNS market, but the internet as we know it. So we should be, frankly, even though we are a bit in shock, all of us a little bit in shock with this decision, and we need to deal with it, but we should be, frankly, congratulating each other. And for those who are not with us today, who labored for this for years, to also give them the credit for this moment. It's a very important moment, and I think the world will be watching us on Monday.
Thanks, Fadi, and you put your finger very, very firmly on the pulse here, and that's one of the themes that's come up in the last while. This is massive and not wholly digested information, and so shock is maybe one word, undigested is another, but this is something we are processing, and my sense is that it's something we need to process and work on together. So you hit the nail very firmly on the head there. I think it's appropriate now, since that was what was requested and desired, is that we simply turn this over to some questions, Q&A, and they may or may not be wholly focused on this primary and significant issue, but of course there's much else that preoccupies all of our minds. So let me open it up to see if we can take a hand and someone who's prepared to lead into this. I've got Well, I've got John and then Mikey and then Maria.
Fadi, thank you for joining us. John Berard from the Business Constituency. Because I'm the nice guy in the council, I was tasked with asking the initial softball that then my colleagues would then drive behind. But I was just curious. I hope you weren't too hard on the reporter from The Economist, because the political calculus is pretty hard to undo when you look at the timing of the Snowden announcements, the comments of the president of Brazil, the Montevideo statement, the political calculus that attaches U.S. Surveillance program to the Department of Commerce management of the IANA contract. So I hope you weren't too hard on the reporter, because it's a fairly easy sequence to understand, especially if you haven't been involved even casually with ICANN over the years. So, and I hope he or she was not too hard on you, thinking perhaps you might be trying to mislead him or her in some fashion. The question, though, the softball question that my hard-charging colleagues will drive behind, is in the time that you have been the CEO, what is the best advice that you have been given? And the corollary to that, in that same time frame, is what is the greatest misconception that you have been forced to confront about ICANN?
So the greatest misconception, I'll start with that I have to deal with, is that we are entirely controlled by some people in Washington. Because it's not true. But it's a misconception. Only 2 weeks ago, I was in London meeting with all the ICT ministers of the Commonwealth countries, all 50, some of them. And the Ugandan minister stood up and he said, "Mr. Shehadi, don't you have a contract to perform your core activities with the U.S. government?" Which, of course, I could only answer yes. And he says, "So you are an agent of the U.S. government then?" Well, not exactly. And then how fast can one ferret out all the details of what we really do under IANA? So yes, that's the biggest misconception. It's painful because it's so untrue, but it's stuck on us, and there are so many people that spread it over the years to put us in a box. So that's the biggest one. And I think your first question was the best advice. It depends from whom. The best advice I got was from my wife. She forwarded to me something that was written about Dag Hammarskjöld, who was the second Secretary General of the UN. And he had said something quite impressive that I really liked. And it was that it's very, very important when we engage in roles like mine here, to not be attached to the results, but rather to be attached to the process. And I come from a world of results. You know, I'm a CEO. I come from a background where I deliver, and I know how to do that, to execute. But that advice was very helpful for me, you know, to hear it from someone that I respect. I actually got married in the building named after him in New York City, so I've always looked up to what Dag Hammarskjöld had done. And indeed, he's right. If I proceed with my work, and if I enter into a room like this, and I already have a very preconceived set of things I want to make happen, rather than learn from the process, I think I can't continue in this job easily. This is a job that requires me to value the process as much as I value the result. That was the best advice I got, indirectly a little bit, but Sue sent me that article and I save it on my iPad. I really like it. I think it was written by Archbishop of Canterbury. He wrote the article on Dag Hammarskjöld recently. Thank you for the softball. I need one of these once in a while.
So now Fadi comes the hard ball. and it's up to me to deliver it.
Yeah, okay.
You were in London 2 weeks ago, yes. And you didn't meet with me.
It's true. I was in London very briefly for a few meetings, but yes, I apologize for that.
You're right. So. All right, next in line is Mikey.
Fadi, it's great to see you. Mikey O'Connor, I'm a counselor from the ISP constituency. And the segue is perfect. I'm the process guy. I'm the working groups guy. Clearly, one way to view this is a huge opportunity. So I'm going to frame this in terms of one of your prior jobs where you were a senior executive at IBM and delivered many projects, had many people getting ready to deliver projects. It seems to me that one way to look at this is that the NTIA has turned to ICANN, just as customers turned to your organization and said, we think you're the best organization to do this. Here's the project. You're the CEO. We are the people that deliver those kinds of projects. How can we work together to get a really good charter put together or a really good statement of work, if I translate it into your old terms? How can we make sure that the scope is right, that the stakeholder engagement is right, that we've got all the right people involved, that we've got the right deliverables, we've got the right resources in place? The thing that at least I want to make sure we do is we work well together, that this is one of the focal points of the organization that delivers lots of projects in the form of working groups, which is our term. How can we do this together? Because you're going to hear lots of concerns about top-down, disconnect, blah, blah, blah. I think those are valid. On this one, the stakes are so high, and it's so important. We have to get this right. How can we do that?
The first thing I did today, and this is news, so it's not a resolution that's signed yet by the board, but it will be signed shortly. I have dissolved the advisory group on IANA globalization. Because we don't need an advisory group now that we're going to start a public consultation and build the working group, I hope, or we'll find the best means to do it bottom up. So the board, I think our GC is writing the resolution now to dissolve that. I have also asked the board to dissolve the advisory group on the accountability of ICANN, the affirmation of commitments, because also on Monday we should start an bottom-up public consultation on how to do that together. So I'm dissolving any groups that I thought I needed to just energize us to work together, I remove them so we can start working bottom-up together on Monday on these two. And furthermore, since I'm here, I'll tell you, the other three groups that the board had set with me, because of the amount of work, and you and I talked about this, Mikey, how much there is on our plate, all of us, I have asked the board to just defer them for later. Let's just focus on these two, building these two bottom-up working groups together. I am committed to this. It appears that things happen top-down because there is so much happening and it's so fast. But I think we've talked about this before, and you know that I am committed to working with you. In fact, I need you. I mean, we cannot get there without this community, especially this room, this community, really coming together to solve this. And there's a lot happening. There are many, many tracks that are filled with work. So we took some decisions today to actually slow down some tracks or at least defer them. They're important, but they're not. We cannot do everything. And the tracks where the community will take over on Monday, we will dissolve the groups that were supposed to energize the community to do them because there's no need anymore. Did this help answer your question a little bit?
That was terrific. This is Mikey again. Thanks. I'm the process guy, so I'm going to grind down another layer. I think And now I'm speaking entirely on my own. Just to my constituency members. The thing I don't want to see, I personally don't want to see, is a giant room full of people confronted with a very complicated problem to solve the way we did it the last time. That did not go well. And I think that one of the things we need to do, and now I'm purposefully aiming you back into some of your earlier roles, because my earlier role is a project management role, is we really need to get the chartering right. And a charter cannot be written by 500 people. So we need to figure out a way between the community and the administration to collaborate on developing a really good charter.
Thank you, Mikey. And I concur with you that it'll be even more than 500 people when you add the many, many people online that will be trying to get into this discussion. So Teresa Swinehart, our executive in charge of the area of reviews, will be asked to specifically put together the management of that session and what happens beyond that. So please, first of all, I encourage you to please find her and chat a little bit, because she now shared with me how she will manage the flow of the session in order to come to some conclusions. But I attempted to talk Larry into doing what you said, because Larry is essentially the party waiting for us to come back to him with something, and he said, no, it's got to be bottom up. You need to open it. You need to listen. You need to see where people want to take it. But my hope is that during that session, we take it towards a working group, a volunteer group, some kind of a start putting together a structure. But Monday is about listening and engaging everyone in that process, because many people are still dealing also with the shock of that. Somewhere in between a statement of work and a completely Tuesday Buenos Aires-like session that was just a venting session, somewhere in between we'll find a good formula on Monday, and Teresa's preparing a good plan, and I encourage you to please talk to her. I know you can reach her and share your ideas. And yesterday I asked you, please share with me what are the things we should aim for so that the outcome is a positive outcome. And frankly, I couldn't second your request more, because I am very concerned that as the world is watching us on Monday, we look, frankly, like we're unable to come together and plan for a response to the U.S. government saying, you're mature, that's what they said, you seem like a ready group, so here you go. So hopefully we'll find it, all of us, in our minds and in our hearts, to come together and look like we're ready for this challenge. But you have my commitment to that as well.
Thanks, Fadi.
Thanks, Mikey. Thanks, Fadi. Maria, I've got you next, and I've got Thomas, were you next? I've got Maria, and then I've got James, I've got Thomas, and then I've got you.
This is Maria Farrell. Hi, Fadi, how are you? So I guess, well, mine is the actual hardball question. My question to you is, how do you, as a member of the board and a member of the ICANN executive, how do you plan to walk the walk on the multi-stakeholder model? This is the GNSO, and those around the table are the GNSO Council. And this morning we talked about a lot of different concerns we have, that the GNSO is dying the death of 1,000 cuts. Dying the death of 1,000 cuts, 1,000 small little cuts to the flesh. And I'll tell you what we mean by that. There are a lot of basically the GNSO is the primary policy initiation and development vehicle for the generic TLD space. But we're dealing with board-initiated PDPs. We're dealing with the board rejecting or disregarding policy outcomes that the GNSO has come to. And you know, frankly, in the words of one of our contributors from the floor this morning, being disrespectful and not coming back to us to talk about policy, substantive policy issues that they disagree with. Things like the you know top-down things like strategy panels, etc., though I appreciate what you've said about IANA, we think that the multi-stakeholder model is founded on the ability of the GNSO to do its work and to do it in a manner that is respected in terms of the substance of what we do. So, you know, my question to you really is, what are you as a board director and the CEO going to do about that? And I'm just going to tell you quickly about a conversation I had over drinks last night. There were three of us gathered around, one from the non-commercial world, which is me, one from the commercial side, and one from government. And one of the people started out saying, what ICANN staff thinks of as engagement is not what we think of as engagement. So we each had the experience of an event was held or an outreach was done to our community, and there was no follow through to, you know, are you going to be part of the GNSO? Are you going to take advantage of the possibility to be part of it? So we felt that there is a lot of messaging that's being done, but not a lot of engagement. We felt that a lot of the outreach to our respective communities tends to be in terms of a conversation or the delivery of a message rather than the ongoing engagement of people into what we do. I mean, just to wrap up, what we do here is it's the work. It's the nub of what ICANN does. You know, and sometimes it's obviously messy, and sometimes it's not particularly useful that, you know, we're the multi-stakeholder model is slow and all of these things. But, you know, we really are concerned. I want to know what you are going to do to walk the walk in terms of internally, operationally, within the organisation, of making the multi-stakeholder model continue to breathe and to thrive.
There were many, many questions in your statement, so I'll ferret a few and just answer them. Look, I think, first of all, at the board level, do we have a meeting with the board as well? So let's engage the board on that question as well. But I'll speak for a minute as a board member. But when the rest of the board comes, I encourage you to engage them on this. Even today, we had a board meeting, a GTLD board meeting. And I must tell you, today there were three things, and you can go look at the record, where we actually stopped the decisions because we said, this is not GNSO policy. And in fact, there is one particular discussion that is going to happen in the hallways in the next 2-3 days. And when we told our staff as a board what to do, the only red line we gave them is, this is a consensus policy from the GNSO. You can come up with any solution to this problem, but this is immovable. It's a red line. So I think at the board, I would disagree with you. I think that maybe there needs to be better communication so you appreciate that we actually do pay attention to the GNSO policy. Could we do a better job? Maybe, and you should hold us to that. But today alone, there were multiple discussions where we came back and said, no, this is not right. We should stop short of that and let the GNSO policy prevail. I think you continue to sensitize us to this. Please keep doing so. I mean, do not stop doing that because there are new board members, there are many new people engaged. They should keep hearing that policies get made here, they shouldn't be made at the board level. And especially when a consensus policy was reached by the GNSO. In fact, Akram today was arguing very hard at the board meeting that even if we think it is not the right thing, but it is a consensus policy of the GNSO, we should stick with it. Because that's how it should be. So I must tell you, at least the tone that I'm hearing is not consistent with, you know, let's ride over the GNSO. I don't hear that. I really don't. Good communications may make you feel better about this. Now, the other points you made is really about things like the strategy panels, which continue to make many people in the community upset. Of course, the strategy panel are done, as I blogged 10 days ago. They're done. They submitted their work. Please watch me now to see if I take any of the strategy panel recommendations and I implement it. If I do, then you should come after me. But if I put the recommendations for you to look at, to review, to consider, and to either throw them out or make them part of the strategic plan, what's wrong with that? Why are we so afraid of people giving us recommendations? That's good. That's good practice. It's good practice. It happens in corporations. It happens in governments. It happens in churches. It happens everywhere. People hear from third parties. They take input. The question is, if I take this input and I make it a decision, then you should be very worried, because suddenly I'm bringing outsiders into our home and telling them, what do you think? How do we fix the house? And then I take their decisions and I fix the house, and we haven't discussed it. This is your home. I work for you. I don't work for them. And they work for us. They're outsiders that were brought in to give us input. Some of these outsiders, you know, we may disagree with, we may like, but the intent was to bring some fresh thinking. If we're afraid of fresh thinking, then we become like members of our church, you know, who think, you know, they're the only people on the planet that really, you know, matter. So we should not get close to outside ideas. That's all the panels did. They gave us ideas, they put them on the website, and they're gone. And the advisory groups were equally misunderstood. People, oh, here he goes, Fadi again, he's doing advisory groups. The advisory groups were designed so that we can take a discussion that happened at the board, and the board members can go out and discuss it with the community. That's what it was. I told them, I cannot be dealing with all these areas you want to attack. Why don't we have four or five board members go out and discuss it with the community and bring back advice to the community, not to me. In fact, if you look at the record, you will see that I insisted they don't call them president's advisory boards. They are the ones who insisted. Because they said there's no precedent, you have to call it president's advisory. These were intended to be community advisory groups that bring a subject to the fore. So there's so much going on that we think it's all top-down, because there's a lot going on. But my job is to really step back a little bit, which I will do at this meeting, lay out what's on the table, and then discuss it with all of you, and we as a community could say, that's too much, let's stop these things, let's focus on these things. And the ones we focus on, how do we deal with them? So I will do that. On Monday morning, I will kind of show a map of all the working groups, the activities that are going on, and then we have to, as a community, for the next few days, discuss, where do we focus? So I'm with you. I understand how people feel, and I don't ignore perceptions. You are talking about real perceptions. I don't intend to do this. So if there's anything I could do differently, please come and talk to me. Tell me, look, this appears this way. You told me the advisory groups appeared like they're top-down. I today asked the board to eliminate three, and the other three, which are important subjects, let's just defer them until we decide whether we create working groups to replace them or whatever. I just didn't want the subject to die, because they're important subjects, right? But I stand ready to change in any way that would serve the community better. I'm committed to the multi-stakeholder model, and on that point, I'll make my last comment. If I wasn't committed to the multi-stakeholder model, I would not have spent the time I spent to convince the president of Brazil to hold an entire conference called the Multi-Stakeholder Conference on Internet Governance. It took me a long time to nail that. She was at the UN telling the UN to hold the conference. If I didn't believe in the multi-stakeholder model, I would not have asked Larry that it's time now to let the multi-stakeholder model shine. What we agreed with Larry is a triumph of the multi-stakeholder model. How could I be the one trying to bring that down? So I think we should all be, we should all take a deep breath and think about where we've put our actions, what we've done, and if there are things we can do better, including myself, first myself. I'm happy to change. I'm definitely someone who is ready to change in any way that the community feels is necessary. So I hope this helps a little bit, Maria.
Thanks, Fadi, for that. I've got three people, in fact, four in the queue, which includes, and there'll be a time constraint on this in the end, but it includes James, Thomas, Yoav, and John. If any of you are going to ask a question in and around topics related to Maria's, like follow on the strategy panel and so on, I think we should try and be brief on it, but we should keep it continuous and then close that issue. So if we're going to open new issues, then so be it. If there's a follow-on, then let's just have that quickly.
I have a follow-on to Maria's question and your answer, of course. So it's clear that you were sensitive to criticism of the imposition or the creation of the strategy panels. What do you think was the reason for that? Why do you think there was that reaction to the strategy panels?
Do you want me to be direct about this? My sense
and
is that
honest, if you
we are sometimes insular as a community. To be frank, every community is a little insular. I live in one. I come from a minority, so I know how insular we can be. So I think any time an outsider is being asked to give an opinion, now, the mistake I did is that we did not discuss it. It would have been better if we had discussed, hey, let's go get an outsider to come and give us an opinion. That's a learning for me. But we also, let's admit that there is a little bit of, you know, who are these guys to come and tell us? We're the multi-stakeholder model. Who's Beth Novak to come and tell us what is the multi-stakeholder innovation, you know, something like that. So there is a little bit of both. But I will take most of the blame. Had I conferred with all of you that I'd like to do something to get some outside opinion that would inform us, I think, frankly, most of you may have said, great, let's go do it. You know, let's charter it. Let's put a clear charter around it. So I will not do this again. And that's why I was, frankly, a little bit disappointed when I and the board made the same mistake by calling these advisory groups, which were not intended in any way like the panels. These were just intended, hey, let's go engage with the community more than anything else, which, again, was misunderstood as another top-down group. It wasn't. It was just asking the board members to go and take a topic and engage us. And as soon as we saw the working groups or the sense of working groups coming around IANA globalization and so on, I today asked the board to have a resolution to disband them immediately. So I hope I'm candid, but that's what I think, John.
Fadi, if you and others will permit me two very quick remarks. I mean, with the multi-stakeholder innovation panel, I think we could have done better. We could have done better if we'd engaged with them earlier, and that would have improved things. But notwithstanding that, we are committed to picking up their work and sifting through it and looking for the nuggets that are relevant and valuable, and we will do that. But there's no doubt about that. James.
Thanks, Jonathan. Hi, Fadi. James from North American Registrars. Interesting news about the panels that you mentioned, and it's a surprise. I think I have to digest that. I think a lot of the folks will have to kind of think about what that indicates. Just like the NTIA announcement was a surprise to a lot of folks, and we're still chewing on that. And I'm getting a lot of requests internally, externally, media, customers, partners, investors, asking us like, well, what's our reaction? How do we feel about this change, this announcement? You know, what's our position? And you know, I want to say this has been a long time coming and we welcome this. But I have to pull short of that, primarily because I think there are just so many examples of, and this is peripheral to, I think, that what Maria and John were talking about, but just recent sort of high-profile examples of ICANN, particularly ICANN staff and executive staff acting very independently, very unilaterally, and having now entered into new, what I consider, very concerning agreements like the new RAA that give ICANN sweeping new powers and authority. The idea of a fully independent ICANN is a little troubling and gives us pause and says maybe we can't jump on board and say we welcome this this announcement. So my question or my comment disguised as a question would be something along the lines of what sort of either internal accountability mechanisms do you think would be beneficial, or do you think that there still needs to be some external body that ICANN is going to need to be accountable to, that's going to have to be, you know, holding the reins somehow? I'd welcome your thoughts on that, because I think we have we can anticipate not only that this announcement will bring a tsunami of new participants into the process, but it will also reopen a lot of those issues that we discussed that where ICANN was perceived to have acted, gotten far out in front of the community and acted on its own.
James, I disagree with you, first of all, because this, I didn't get ahead of the community. This was not my decision. This is a decision by the U.S. government. Let's be very clear on that.
Sorry, and I didn't mean to imply that this particular decision was...
Okay.
I'm meaning, for example, we've been discussing things like the RAA data retention waiver. We've been discussing late-breaking changes to the new GTLD program, things that it felt like maybe were not fully vetted by the entire community.
Yeah, felt is not a good word for me. You know, I need facts. So if you're saying things don't feel right, let's sit down and talk about them. If there are facts that are... If there are decisions being made behind the back of the GNSO, speak up. Say, this is not right. But if there are things that are felt, I don't react to that. As to the USG, let me be very clear. The US government made a big decision that is going to give ICANN an incredible edge in preserving our position globally in the role we do. There was huge attack on ICANN that many of us don't even know about from many quarters to try, until now, we're still watching all the proposals coming down in various fora to actually take over what ICANN does. We needed to create a mechanism to stop the most damaging thing that people say about us is that we are controlled by the U.S. government. And the U.S. government gets that. They're extremely clear that this is damaging for ICANN. It is a cancer that is going to would have gotten us into a worse and worse situation. We had to solve that. And believe me, it wasn't just a Larry Strickling decision. This decision went across all the agencies of the U.S. government, every single agency, from Department of Defense to DHS to everybody was involved. Because this is a big decision. It's a very courageous decision that the U.S. government did. Now, let me answer your question on the very important subject of how do we bridle ICANN, is what you asked. How do we make sure ICANN is bridled? And this is a good question, James. This is an important one. On Monday, there will be two new tracks that will be discussed. One is related to the response to the U.S. government, which says, go and replace our role in IANA with a set of global mechanisms, not institutions. This is all picked up wrong by the press, and we're writing, I just wrote the editors of the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, one after the other, because this was a mistake. They all assumed the U.S. government said, go replace us with an institution. They didn't. And I just cleared with Larry some language I will use Monday morning. We're looking for mechanisms to replace the role of the United States government as a steward of the IANA functions. That's number one. And these should be mechanisms that ensure that the IANA function gets done the way the policies have been written by the IETF for the protocol parameters, by you for the generic names, the CC, NSO, and TLDs for those, their names, etc. We should be accountable to a mechanism to be designed to replace the U.S. government role. That's one side. In the afternoon on Monday at 5 p.m., we're going to have a session to address your question, which is, okay, this is for IANA. How about ICANN? Now, today, what bridles ICANN? What keeps us in check is your question. Well, two things. One, the U.S. government. They have a role. You know how many letters they get all day from people around the world saying, check ICANN? They do. So the U.S. government has a role there that will change. And the second thing that is designed to bridle ICANN is the affirmations of commitment. That's a document where we commit to the world that we're going to perform things according to certain clear commitments. The problem with that document today is that even though it's a commitment to the world, it is signed by the U.S. government and us. That will change. We don't want it to be signed by 100 governments, because I don't think that's the solution. We want it to be signed by the multi-stakeholder global community. How do we do that? So on on the afternoon of Monday, we will have a session precisely to answer your question. What are the mechanisms that we need to put in place to ensure ICANN sticks to its commitments to the multi-stakeholder community? I invite you to come and help me and help us figure out what are the mechanisms to do that. Because indeed, as the U.S. government ends its unique involvement in our world, we need to make sure that we have the right mechanisms in place to keep us in check. I agree with you. And I encourage us to be involved. And please keep in mind these are two different activities. One is about IANA and how we replace the U.S. role in IANA. One is about, frankly, ICANN commitments to the multi-stakeholder community and how do we as a community will keep ICANN in check. And my hope is that we don't go design yet another institution to do that. My hope is that we address that with a set of mechanisms that are legitimate, that are effective, and that indeed keep us in check. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I just have one quick follow-up, Jonathan, if you'll indulge me. Sorry. Is one possible hypothetical outcome of this whole thing that we can't replace the U.S. government's role with internal mechanisms only? The status quo, as much as we may all hate it, has to prevail. Is that one possible outcome?
I disagree with that. I mean, the U.S. government, of course, is an institution that has a certain weight and a jurisdictional reach. But if you say this, especially in front of the whole wide world, then people will question that we believe in the multi-stakeholder model. And the multi-stakeholder model, if we believe in it, says that we could bring, and ICANN is blessed to have 130-plus governments sitting at the GAC. It has the business community. It has the ISPs. It has civil society. We're all here. If we cannot put together review mechanisms that can keep us in check, then we're raising a white flag saying only a government can keep us boys in check. Is this the message we want to send to the world? I hope not. We are able to do it. We just need to put in place the mechanisms and the escalation points in the mechanisms, which don't exist today, to ensure that you have the teeth, in a way, the community has the teeth to keep what we do in check. And I'm committed to that. So let's get together in the afternoon on Monday and put all of our thoughts around that.
So I can see somebody waiting in the wings to take Fadi away, and I can see two very patient people in the queue. So I've got Thomas and Yoav, and then we really all have to close it at that point. So Thomas, okay. Let's hear from you.
Thanks, Jonathan. I'm Thomas Rickert, NOMCOM appointee to the GNSO Council, and thanks, Fadi, for being with us and for the brave decisions that you already took on this, which I think is great. Even though most of the councillors will only have the opportunity to discuss with their stakeholder groups and constituencies on Tuesday, when we prepared for this discussion, there was a unanimous sense in the room that the GNSO and its council is cognizant of the responsibility that it has in working on this. So I guess what we would like to ask from you as the CEO, and as you said earlier, that you're at service to the community, is to ensure that you support us in this effort with allocating resources and staff so that we can deliver in the time that we have. I mean, 18 months looks a lot, but that's going to be approaching very rapidly. I would like to reiterate one point on the red line discussion that you referred to earlier. I think that ICANN will be under very severe scrutiny whether it means bottom-up, consensus-driven, multi-stakeholder in the best sense of the meaning, or whether that's just lip service. And I guess we need to ensure jointly that there is not the slightest room for allegations that the decision-making is top-down. But I guess that the outside world will not only look at the NTIA question, but I think they will look at ICANN as such. And there was one recent occasion of a PDP that has ended, and I hope that this PDP is the one that you referred to with your with respect to the discussions that you had earlier, and that is the IGO-NGO PDP effort. And we recently received a letter from Shireen, which sort of showed clearly that the board or the NGPC is considering to not follow the policy advice that it got from the community. And we found that sort of alarming, because it was not only a motion that was passed by the council, but it was a motion that was unanimously passed by the council. And not everybody liked the outcome, but even those that didn't like the outcome went on record during the GNSO public session and said, we don't like the outcome, but we very much respect the process, which was an integral process. You know, it was there was integrity there. So, and we, I think, need to ensure that this integrity is carried on, and that we don't give any room for people making allegations that this doesn't properly work.
Thank you, Thomas. It wasn't the discussion wasn't on that one that I mentioned, but I think it's very important when the board and I all come back to visit with you that we take some time to talk about these subjects. It's very important. I want to, frankly, myself go back and consider some of the positions I'm taking on these board meetings to support the GNSO. I need to work with you on that a little bit, because sometimes I need to be better informed. So I'll talk to Jonathan about this, or maybe some of you to help me.
Thank you, Fadi. I think we can.
Yeah, but on the other issue, the issue of the continued appearance to some of you that a lot of things are being decided by staff. I can speak for staff, not the board, top down. I have a monthly call with my team called the WhatsApp call. I'm suggesting that I do a call with the whole community called the bottom-up call. I'm not kidding, by the way. And the purpose of that call would be simply for any community member, once every month or 2 months, to actually come and call me on things that I or my staff are deciding top-down. Because we can't come every 4 months and feel that, you know, I'm going to do that if it's okay with you. As a suggestion that I just thought about, because it seems like the sensitivity is high, and I hear it sometimes and I respond to it, but it seems like there's a lot building up about this that I don't feel directly. So it could be me, it could be other people on my team. Why don't we have a frank engagement once every few weeks that is purely about that, where people can come in good faith and say, look, this looks too top-down. Can you explain? I'll do that.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Fadi. I'm very conscious of time. Yoav, and then we'll wrap up the session.
Yeah. Yoav Keren, the counselor for the registrars. I think I've heard some people talk about the NTIA letter, and I feel that there's a little confusion. The letter doesn't say that ICANN is going to own the administration of IANA. It asks ICANN to manage the process to determine who's going to do that. I'll be happy if you clarify that. So this was my question. What gives you, because I hear the tone of assurance that ICANN is actually going to do that, and I want to kind of understand what gives you that assurance.
I think this is very important to appreciate that the U.S. government, and they're here, by the way, so I encourage you to meet with Larry and Fiona and others to just clarify this with them as well, and they've been very generous with their time to talk to the community. But the U.S. government has a contract. This contract hopefully will just lapse now. By the time it lapses, for it to lapse, we as a community need to come back to the U.S. government with a proposal that meets their four principles. That proposal is to replace the role of the U.S. government as a steward of the IANA functions that gave confidence to the world that we perform these functions. The role of the U.S. government is largely a role of holding us accountable. Accountable to what? Accountable to perform on the policies that were handed by the various policy bodies and specification bodies. But the relationship between us and the policy body is defined through other means. So take the protocol parameters. I have an MOU with the IETF. Who owns the protocol parameters? The IETF owns the protocol parameters. There's no question. I don't own them. They own them. Who did they sign a contract to perform the function with? With ICANN, with IANA. So we perform the function on their behalf. Similarly with the RIRs, we have an MOU with the RIRs that allows us to manage the registry for them. So please be clear that the relationships between ICANN and these bodies that produce these policies is defined very clearly. Critically, on the same day the U.S. government made their announcement, every ISTAR organization, including the regional CCTLD organizations, co-signed a statement saying, we appreciate the decision of the United States government, but we affirm our respective relationships and the fact that ICANN is the IANA administrator. So this is already on the record, and it's moving forward. What we need to do on Monday is to say, the U.S. government had a function to give the world confidence we're accountable. What do we replace this with? Nothing else is in play. It's the role of the United States government that ensured that we did our work according to the community's policies and specifications. That is what needs to be replaced. And I think that's clear. What we need to do is focus on that and get it done calmly, without upsetting the stability of the system. So I'm talking to VeriSign directly. I had several meetings with Jim Bezos last week to ensure that we are continuing our partnership for the security and stability of the system. So these things are ongoing, and we have to be very careful with what gets to be perceived to be in play, because none of us want the system to be unstable. We'd like it to remain very stable, and that's our priority number one, without a question. I hope this helps a little bit, Yoav. And again, I encourage you to meet with the U.S. government representatives as needed. There's also one other clarification I'd like to make, because a lot of people asked me this, and we had a meeting with Larry this morning to clarify this. The U.S. government is announced its intention to end its unique involvement with all the root zone functions. Now, that clearly implies, as we checked with Larry today, that this means that their relationship with us as it relates to the root zone management, their relationship with VeriSign as it relates to the root zone management, is going to be sunsetted when these contracts end, when this period ends. So this is important to appreciate, that this is where we're heading. Now, again, this is not about, this should not be perceived, as some people might, as a power grab. This is, all we're doing is ensuring the system remains stable through a period of immense and important change. And all of us have that responsibility, not just me, to keep things very stable, and then to build, as James was saying, to build the accountability mechanisms on ICANN and the accountability mechanisms on IANA. That's our job this week, to ensure we set up. And lastly, I want to say Monday, when you hear us all speak about this, as per our agreement with the board today, we are not presenting any mechanisms. We, the staff, we, the board, no. We're just tomorrow, Monday, we're going to talk process, not mechanisms. What is the multi-stakeholder, open, bottom-up, consensus-based process that we will all adopt to do both these things? We're not going to get, so please don't come up to the microphone and say, I have an idea on how to replace the U.S. government. We'll say, thank you very much. You know, we're talking about process. We need to nail the process so that Mikey's happy and we, you know, we get things in place. That's our job, to make Mikey happy. So we will do that on Monday, and hopefully we're successful.
Fadi, on that note, it's up to me to thank you very, very sincerely for coming here on your own, unarmed, unguarded, and taking, you know, straight questions that you were unprepared for. I think it's brave, credible, and appreciated. And at least you'll know that if you've left the room with one person happy, it'll be Mikey. But I suspect you've made a few others at least happier, if not happy. So thank you sincerely very much for that. Thanks, everyone. We'll stop the recording on that session and prepare to open the recording.